Broadcasting live from an Airstream somewhere in Tornado Alley, bringing you the people, places, and stories from the Panhandle to the Red River. This is your Only in Oklahoma show.
And welcome to the show. Today, we're saddling up and headed to Sun Cattle Company in OKC. And later in the show, Legendary Tower versus Oklahoma versus Gojira. I'm Brett.
And I'm Harley.
The tower looks like it's going to be attacked by King Kong. I can see King Kong hanging off the top.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
They will. They will when they hear the... whatever. I can't do Godzilla's voice. But anyway, I had a splendid weekend judging barbecue.
You did.
I did judge. And I'll be honest, by the time I was done, I was like, I can't eat anymore. In fact, I gave you all the scraps.
The bonus ribs.
The bonus ribs.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Oh, they were good.
Even 10th place tastes pretty good, I bet.
I don't know. They weren't labeled in the box.
They weren't labeled in the box.
I just ate them all.
Well, the thing about judging the barbecue is we didn't know who it was. In fact, until the results were released a few days later, we didn't know, unless you memorized the number that you were judging, you had no clue who won.
Hmm.
Just knew that I know who won, but I don't know who I was...
Who you were voting for?
Right.
Interesting.
Because after a bit, the chicken... I'm looking around. You're not supposed to cheat off scorecards, but I was seeing people that had clearly done it before. I'm like, how are they eating it? Because there's a certain way. You can't... It's not just like pass the plate and, you know, everybody takes the biggest piece of chicken. There's a method to it. You want to get the one that looks just... Because the criteria is this. Appearance, tenderness, and flavor. Those are the three criteria. So if they bring the styrofoam, because they were all brought out in styrofoam containers, the captain of the table would open it up and go ahead.
Before we get too deep into this, did you actually mention where you were judging barbecue?
I did not.
So somebody just tuning into the show is
has
like,
no idea.
This guy is just sitting, like, going to restaurants, judging barbecue. But
he's judgmental. You should have heard him. Anyway,
so Brett was judging barbecue at the Highway 62 barbecue competition in Nacoma Park this last weekend.
If the regulars that listen to the show already know. But
they do.
If you're in Mongolia, who's number one in barbecue as well.
I think that may be why we're so big in Mongolia.
Probably.
Mongolian barbecue.
Yeah.
Oklahoma barbecue.
It's a thing.
It could be a translation thing.
Now, Korean barbecue, if they're listening, they already know the drill. They already know the criteria. So anyway, table captain comes around, opens the styrofoam container, and you're supposed to not judge it on, is there, because a lot of them put parsley, a lot of them put kale as a bed for it to lay on. You're supposed to judge it as it is. If there's, for instance, on the brisket, they may put beef tips, burn ends in there. You're not judging the burn ends. Those are, basically, we want to win. So here's bonus burn in. And sometimes it swayed you. Sometimes the burn in was better than the main course.
Yeah.
So they'd come around with, we judged, Friday night was the rib burn, as they call it. So we judged ribs Friday night. The next day it was chicken, brisket, and ribs. There was some good looking, I mean, the problem is for me, I'm used to eating a certain kind of barbecue. So I'm looking for that, that certain kind of barbecue. There's some techniques that they do and some different glazes that they put on that's unlike anything I've ever had. And some of the most perfectly, the ribs look like they were printed on a 3D printer. But by the time I was all said and done, I was ready to not eat any barbecue.
Oh, I hear you. It was a great event.
Yeah.
I loved the music.
Yeah.
We still have to find the name of that band that was playing.
They were great.
There's some young kids. Family band. Mind-bogglingly good. Yeah. But, dude, I'm telling you, walking around the smells.
Oh, the mixture
coming
of
from the cook teams.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be hungry and go through that.
But here's the thing. I said I was done with barbecue. So, stuck around, did the people's choice. $20, he give you a little plate. You go through, and basically it's a maize bush of barbecue. Just little servings here and there. There was two types of people that did it. And you can guess which one I want. The type that went, I'll take a little bit of that, go eat it. go to the next line, get a little bit of that, a little bit of that, go eat it, and work your way around. Mm-hmm. Which type do you think I was?
You were the guy who put your mouth at the end of the table and had them scrape the scraps into your face?
Close. The guy that went to every table, the tables that, had something a little bit different each time. Because, I mean, it's like, okay, brisket, brisket, brisket. I had some peach cobbler that was out of this world. Fantastic. Who else? I mean, so once I loaded the regular little plate, I took that plate out. And, you know, they all came in a Frisbee.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked around with the Frisbee, looking like a guy that stole a Frisbee just to eat. I was like, just so you know, my other plate's full. They're like, oh, it's all big now. So I'd get the freaking Frisbee loaded up. I didn't eat it all. Don't get me wrong. I didn't eat it all. But, yeah, a lot of great food out there. The first, one of the neatest things was the first night you had to do a sip and bite where each team would put together a cocktail or a drink and some type of an appetizer. Some tables, I'll be honest, made out like bandits. My table, it was a sad. We had a sad sip and bite. But overall experience was a great experience. There are some people that literally are not professional, but you can be a registered
barbecue judge. Yeah.
And they had methods in which you could contact. I think it's like they want to say it's the OKBS or something like that. I don't know. It's probably not. And to find out what classes to take, and which I thought was pretty cool. So, I mean, so it was a real deal. It wasn't just a bunch of guys, you know, fat guys sitting around eating food and telling each other how much they like it.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, I don't
either.
You
made that sound like that was a bad thing.
Plus size men. Is that better?
No, you just made it sound like a bunch of fat guys sitting around eating food.
Well, I mean,
like, that sounds like a weekend event for me.
There were women too. I'm not going there. You're trying to set me up for failure. I'm not doing it. But it was a lot of fun. Hope to be invited back next year. I didn't stick around for everything. I got cold. I was cold and tired, so I didn't stick around for everything, but I had fun. It was a lot of fun.
Well, we also had a little bit of an activity last week.
Oh, yeah.
And that is where today's episode begins.
Yes.
You and I were in downtown Oklahoma City.
Uh-huh.
And we were on the prowl for lunch. And I think we found a diamond in the rough.
I really do. I mean, it's a rare occasion that we eat somewhere that we both agree that it's great and that we both agree to come back to it. It happens, but I don't know how often.
It's very, that's a once in a blue moon type of event.
Because we typically each of us find something good and bad about a place.
And our tastes are slightly different. You don't like Italian food as much as I like Italian food.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like Brahms as much as you like Brahms.
Right. And I've been crucified for eating Brahms recently because I work two jobs and it's easy just to swing through and have a burrito and make a video about it. You know who you are. Shut up.
But anyway, we are not talking about Brahms.
We're not.
Today we are talking about the Sun Cattle Company on Film Row in Oklahoma City.
What a cozy, you know, it's funny, the location. When you think downtown, they've done so much down there, dude. Like, it doesn't even look like the same place. I haven't been on Film Row. I don't think I've just passed by it. But right there on Sheridan, there's a lot going on right there.
There is a lot going on, and it doesn't look anything like it looked when we were
young, much younger.
When that was our stomping grounds.
Hell, 5 years ago, it doesn't look the same.
True. But Sun Cattle Company is really unique. First and foremost, I'm pretty sure you can get a hamburger for $5.
You can't find
fast food with $5 hamburgers.
No.
So, a check in the win column on pricing alone.
Dude, I couldn't believe it.
It's locally sourced beef,
mm-hmm.
which is mind-boggling to me that you can get a $5 burger and it be locally sourced. But something I didn't realize while we were there, Mike Rowe stopped in at the Sun Cattle Company, and he said they served him one of the best burgers he's ever had.
You know, and that's pretty high praise for Mike Rowe. Now, Mike Rowe, I almost feel like he bought a timeshare here in Oklahoma. He has spent a lot of time in OKC, Tulsa, you know, up northeast, covering the oil and gas industry. And, you know, everybody knows who Mike Rowe is from Dirty Jobs. I'm not going to say I disagree. That it's one of the best hamburgers I've ever had, too.
And when you're talking farm to table, which, again, that's been a theme.
It's been a theme.
With the Only an OK Show for a while. Farm to table is huge from our perspective.
Yeah.
But, dude, so when we went in, I got the Big Jack, which is a double meat, cheese, little lettuce, pickles, and what they call sun sauce, which is kind of a Thousand Island, but we couldn't determine what the...
It had a little bit of a kick to it.
There's something else in it, but, dude, one of the juiciest burgers I've had in a long time.
And, you know, that's the thing, and maybe we're doing it wrong, but for a griddle burger, it's easy to kind of overcook those and kind of cook out some, you know what I mean?
To cook it all out,
cook it all out. I know a lot of places that do that. And, again, quality of food. I think it's going to be a theme in this show. Quality of food versus price. Now, I get convenience charge. Sure, McDonald's wins the convenience war every single time. But for a few dollars more?
I don't know if they do anymore,
you don't?
To be completely honest.
Yeah.
Recently, I was on the road and took a pill.
And needed something to take.
And needed something in my stomach. And the only thing within miles on the highway was a McDonald's. So I was like, all right, I'll just go and get a McDouble and rip the bun off of it.
Yeah.
And I'll be good. You know, just something in my stomach before I threw up in my truck. Pull up to the drive-thru. Am I ordering with the app today? Well, no. That's why I'm in the drive-thru.
Yeah.
And then pull up to the window. They've got 150 different forms of payment or ordering options plastered all over the window. All I ordered was a McDouble and a tea. They gave me my tea right away. I sat in the line. I sat at the window for a solid 10 minutes.
What is the point of an app if I can't get my food before 1, 2, 3, 4 people ahead of me does?
Yeah,
what's the point in that?
I don't understand. I don't understand the app. I don't understand them pushing all of the Apple Pay and the just like.
Yeah. Give me just the POS system.
Right. You give me a McDouble and I give you a $5 bill and you give me change back. No, it doesn't work like that anymore.
We'll get back to Sun Cattle, but this is a great opportunity to rail on McDonald's. An app is why, if I'm ordering through the app, why can't I just, I don't need an app. I can order it right here. It doesn't add any. The only thing it does is, you know, like every other app does now that is food related. Oh, but you get points. That's a selling point. You get points. You get points. You get free food. That's the thing with Chick-fil-A is everybody's on Chick-fil-A's because you get free food. Like,
well, all of them do that. But at the end of the day, they've all raised their prices to incorporate all that. So it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, you think
you're not saving any money.
No.
I'm sorry, but I went and bought a McDouble and a tea, and it cost me $7 plus tax.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. That is not okay.
No.
Not when I can go to some place like Sun Cattle Company and get beef that came from Oklahoma that has never been frozen.
Never been frozen.
Prepared well, fast. Dude, between the time that we walked in the door and we left, it was probably 15 minutes.
Oh, easy. Yeah, and people were steadily filing in. And even when I had to get my to-go order towards the end, and I we'll talk about add-ons that I had, but still, time-wise, and again, price-wise, quality and quantity can go hand in hand.
One of the nice things, if you are in the area after hours, into the day, they're in the right area for the people that like to take part in the nightlife. They have beer on draft, bottles and cans. They have mixed drinks, which is not something I expect from a burger joint.
No, absolutely not.
So I didn't partake, obviously. But man, the menu, I was really shocked.
The thing I noticed right away when I walked in is it had that, this is going to be a bad example, but it reminded me of a combination of Crockett's and Cattleman's mixed with an old burger joint feel. I like the bar stool setup with the bar stools that are mounted into the floor. It has that bar, kind of like the bar seating at Cattleman's does, even with the lighted photographs.
Mm-hmm.
They have those. I think they have those at Cattleman's as well. But I think there's a more of a personal touch to those. You can kind of tell.
I would definitely say it's more of an upscale burger joint, but it's still a burger joint.
Right. And they had like a bull or a steer mount.
Mm-hmm.
So it did. It kind of had that. I'm probably messing it completely up, but it just has kind of like that. It feels like Sun Cattle Company. In fact, it's not like anywhere else. It feels like Sun Cattle Company. You're walking smack dab into this rustler's freaking hideout in the middle of downtown Film Row on freaking Sheridan in downtown Oklahoma City. It's cool. I love the place.
There's a Sonic like four blocks away.
Yes.
I don't understand how that Sonic is in business. I'm being 100% serious. It makes no sense to me at all why that Sonic exists.
No. And that's the thing, too, about this place. Did you look around? There are lawyers. There are hipsters. There are old guy, retired, semi-retired. Nearly every walk of life is walking in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a huge place, is
it? No, it's not. I would say there's probably seating for maybe 25.
25, maybe a little bit more, but not much.
Yeah, I think you'd really have to pack it in to get more than that. As far as the menu goes, though, their focus is going to be on the fried onion burger, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a lot of neat additions, things you don't find at most fried onion burger places.
Right.
They do have the hot dogs, but some of the things on the burgers. So the Big Jack, I got mine without it, but the Big Jack actually comes with a hash brown on it.
Oh, man. You feel like you missed out?
No. I mean, you know, obviously I'm trying not to eat the potatoes.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But their sun sauce is above and beyond. But they have things like pimento cheese.
Yes, I had that on my burger.
What'd you think?
Dude, it added an entire flavor. It's not like overwhelming, but it just added another profile to the burger. But let's talk about what you would think you would pay. What do you think you would pay for your burger as is anywhere else?
So I got my burger, a side salad, and a tea. And I was out the door for $15.
That's ridiculous. Like in a good way.
Yeah, I would say.
Like I'm not mad about
it. I think getting a double burger, a side salad, and a tea at most places is going to be over $20.
Oh, easy. Easily. And I think I got the deluxe add bacon with pimento cheese. I mean, goodness gracious, dude. Because it's my first time there. I wanted to be able to speak on a little bit more than just the burger.
Mm-hmm.
I also got a Coney. Okay, I got a Coney. And when you do a Coney, you got to do the chili, and you got to do the cheese, and you got to do the slaw. Dude. And they use a Schwab's hot dog. I don't know how much more local you can get than farm fresh beef. And a Schwab's dog, that signature pink dog. Best hot dog there. Sorry, Bar S. But Schwab's is the king of weenies.
Yeah, I don't know how you ate it, but then you also got the steak nuggets.
No, I ate it in three bites. You watched.
I know. I don't know how you ate it.
Oh, very carefully. You saw it.
But you also got the steak nuggets.
Oh, man.
Which I tried one of those.
Dude.
I'm going to say it's hard to make chicken fried steak.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got to be nearly impossible to make bite-sized chicken fried steak. And that's what they did.
Now, if you're a Sun Cattle Company, you're listening to this, you're going, dude, it's not hard. We do it all the time. Here's the thing with chicken fried steak. If you cook it too long, the breading, if you're out there, Texas Roadhouse, if you're out there, who else does a chicken fried steak that ain't worth a damn? There's things that you have to do to ensure that the breading stays on. If I cut into it and the breading comes off, it's a wrap. I'm done. These steak bites were breaded perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you can take a steak finger and shove it where the sun cattle doesn't shine. And give me steak nuggets all day.
Now, we did have a difference of opinion on the onion rings.
You liked them?
I liked them. Your complaint was that they were too thin.
They were too thin and maybe a little too crispy.
And you thought they were too crispy. I would order them that way. The thing about it being a thin onion and a little on the crispier side,
yeah,
you could bite off the onion.
And it not lose the breading.
and it not, or pull out the whole onion then you just eat breading later.
Now, you're right. You're 100% right on that. I think I agree.
Most onion rings, you either have to put the whole thing in your mouth.
Right.
Or it gets dissected.
Absolutely.
As you eat.
No, you're right.
And there's, I mean, it broke apart.
Maybe that's what I'm so used to it breaking apart. Johnny's used to make a damn good onion ring, but they broke apart. Yeah, I would probably have to take them for another spin around the block. They're just not breaded enough for me. Maybe that's what it is, too. They're not breaded enough, and the onion slices are a little thin. But it's preference. It's just a preference thing.
So some of the things that we didn't try that probably won't get tried by me anytime soon.
Okay.
Fried PB&J with vanilla ice cream.
Ooh,
they do milks, shakes, or malts. And they have something they call a frack, which I'm kind of thinking is like a mix. It comes with Heath or Butterfinger Oreos and Reese's.
Yeah.
Again, they're priced right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these people aggressively want your business.
It's ridiculous.
Or they just realize that if they serve more people, they don't have to make it as big a profit margin.
You know, you're scrolling through going, this can't be right. Like, the prices are just not. What's the secret? You get for $6, I'm going to give you a try. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not, there's nothing hoity-toity about it. They give you, you eat off a paper plate, hardly.
No, I think, again, I think it does a real good job of mixing kind of the rustic, almost diner feel or, you know, hamburger stand feel with the, you know, we're in Film Row.
Yeah.
In a major metropolitan city, you know, kind of right in the mix of things. They do a really good job of balancing that.
Absolutely.
Without failing on any of it.
Well, I think one thing that might go against them, and it's not even anything significant, because of where they are, they're probably easily overlooked, and they're also probably judged like, oh, this has got to be one of those hipster hangouts. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of cool stuff. Not that they're not cool, but there's a lot of cool stuff down there.
I agree. And I did see a couple of hipsters.
Yeah, there's a
couple.
But
I would say you're right. There was a good mix of people.
Yeah, good mix of people.
As far as hours go, they've got good hours. They open at 11 a.m. every day, basically close at 10 every night, except they are closed on Sundays. They're right there on Sheridan, 800 West Sheridan, downtown Oklahoma City.
You can get a burger at 8 p.m., 8:30. Don't show up at 9:55. How do you feel about that?
I don't care.
As a customer, if you know a place closes at 10.
I'm not going to roll in there at 9:55, no, but if either. I worked there, I wouldn't care.
Right. It's your job not to care. Right?
Yeah.
But if you're working there, you're secretly going, okay, I'm going to go ahead and start scrubbing the grill down. We don't close for another 20 minutes. I know, but we're going to just get a head start. And then somebody comes in and they want to order 20 burgers.
Which is why you don't get a head start.
That's
you
true.
You wait till the closing time, you flip the sign, and then you get to work.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What's your cutoff on, they close at 10. Are you going to show up at even at 9:30?
At a sit-down restaurant, I won't. I don't know why we're talking about this. But at a sit-down restaurant, I will not show up later than an hour before they close.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a place where I can get a burger in 10 minutes, then I'll just make sure that I'm there no later than a half an hour before they close.
I'll call it in.
Or you'll use the app.
Or use the app.
I don't think Sun Cattle Company has an app, but they do have a website.
They have an appetizer.
I'm sure they do.
Steak nuggets.
But they also have a website, which was my transition.
Okay.
That you totally stepped on.
Please.
Their website is suncattlecompany.com.
Well, coming up after the break, guess what? We're getting our own Nakatomi Tower.
I'm Raven Rollins, and this is my Southern True Crime podcast, where I discuss cases from my former hometown. Ada, Oklahoma paints itself as an average community, but its history of murder and corruption runs deeper than any story has ever told. You'll hear plenty of special guests, including authors and experts in their fields, who visit with me on each episode, as well as other cases in the southern states. With notorious and unknown cases alike, every victim sees the light on my show. This is Sirens, a true crime podcast.
So our news story today from the Daily Oklahoman, Legends Tower. Could the tallest skyscraper in the U.S. withstand Oklahoma's tornadoes? So plans to build the country's tallest skyscraper in the heart of Oklahoma City has attracted national and international attention, but apparently not all of this publicity has been positive. You have expressed on previous shows that you are not a fan of the appearance of the artist rendition.
The Okeechobee of the Okeechobee Tower.
But I think there is some legitimate concerns about the safety of it actually being in Oklahoma City.
I just think, I don't know anything about structural integrity. I don't know anything about architecture. But when you think of towers like the Sears Tower, and there's another one in Chicago that's bigger than the Sears Tower, where, and even like Japan, where they're literally just clustered with these massive monoliths of architecture, even those big boys sway. You know what I mean?
No, and they actually, the architect actually talks about they've built in sway in the actual buildings, which makes sense. I get it. I get the physics of it. But local residents question whether building the tallest tower in the United States might make it prone to either natural disasters mm-hmm. or a target for terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're both legitimate concerns.
Right. And I will not be attending a Christmas party at Legends Tower.
Definitely not going to go if it's on the 33rd floor.
Not on the 33rd floor. No way.
Especially if the 32nd floor is still under construction or whatever it was at Nakatomi.
Why do you have a Christmas party the floor above? We're having the Christmas party in the basement. Why? Because there's construction on this 32nd floor. Why would you have a Christmas party a floor above the construction? It makes no sense.
I agree with you. They do have some neat, the architect does have some neat little Easter eggs in the tower design. One of the things that I thought was interesting, the plans are for it to be 1,907 feet tall.
Statehood.
Yes.
That's pretty, that's a cool one. I don't know if that's a selling point, but it's a pretty cool knot. It's a nice little knot.
I think it's interesting. I think mm-hmm. if you can't layer a little bit of history or hide some Easter eggs in something that is basically 2 miles tall, then you're doing it wrong.
That, and as much as I poo-poo the idea, can you think of a bigger beacon to say, check out OKC, check out our riverfront, because that's where they're, isn't that kind of where they're hedging their bets that they're going to try to put the thing is somewhere near the riverfront?
Which
I'm trying to, in my mind, there's a lot more riverfront property than we're probably aware of, but it just, I'm trying to imagine this. I said monolith earlier, but that's exactly what it is. I'm trying to imagine where this thing's going to be. And I think it'll be cool. I would be paranoid as much as anybody else with again, it's just about the structural integrity.
Back to what the architect said, modern skyscrapers are built to withstand high winds and earthquakes.
Uh-huh.
That they use technology that allows them to sway several feet in each direction without compromising the steel structure.
Yeah.
With that being said, there was an F3 tornado that hit Bank One Tower in Fort Worth in 2000, 80% of the 35-story tower's windows were destroyed.
Yeah, I've accidentally gone onto an elevator thinking it was going to take me to the 13th floor, not realizing that somebody hit the button already, and I ended up at the 65th floor.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I was like, I couldn't live in a place like that. I couldn't work in a place like that every day. There's not a chance.
Dude,
not
a chance. I couldn't. I'm afraid of heights.
Oh, me too.
190 stories.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah. I'm tough.
If they put a rooftop restaurant, we're never going to do an actual review.
No, we're not even going to talk about it because I'd be by proxy scared shitless to even talk about. Hell, we have never done a show on the Eagle's Nest. Remember that old place up at the top of Regency Tower?
Yeah.
We've never done a show on that because I don't like heights and I don't like to go around in circles.
I feel like you could hide a whole lot of stuff on the 105th to 109th or 190th story.
Yeah.
Like, you could put anything you wanted up there, and I'd never know.
You'd never know.
And I'd never know.
And I feel like if you work at the 100 and whatever floor it is, you drew the short straw. I'd rather work in the basement.
I'm sure there are tons of people that would, that'll totally love that. But this project is supposed to be, have a 3-acre footprint. It's going to have more than 2 million square feet of residential retail and entertainment.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I get it. Again, the renderings, it's straight out of Hollywood. I mean, it just looks...
It's weird, though. It's going to have 2 Hyatt hotels.
Oh.
2 hotels.
I have a connection to Hyatt. Maybe I could stay there for a reasonable price. 2 of them, though.
Does that make sense to you that you're going to have 2 hotels in the same building?
I'm going to dig into... I don't have a lot of evidence here. And I don't know if we can go into it. But the fact that they're having 2 Hyatt hotels, they're not going to be far from Ocana.
No, and they're not going to be far from the new arena. The Thunder Arena.
I think there's some in cahoots going on. I just wonder, we're beefing up.
It's going to be in phases, which I'm all for. They're going to build the 2 smaller towers first, and I think those are like 34, 35 stories, which isn't that about the height of Devon?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to have 2 of those and then have the shooting up to the sky, but it's going to have like an entryway into the boardwalk area. It sounds neat, but I just really feel like
it's too much.
I don't know if it's too much, but man, I feel like you could see that from here.
Yeah, it's like the Tower of Saruman or something like that. You know, it's like something out of
a fantasy book or yeah.
Like I think we talked about earlier, you likened it to like the Emerald City.
Yeah.
Only it's one big emerald. Or you could probably easily put the put the what is it called from I had it in my head from Superman. The Fortress of Solitude. It looks like it's a part of the Fortress of Solitude from Krypton.
I don't know. I just know that it's huge and they're going to have to work hard to make it fit the aesthetic.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have to work real hard. And that's another thing, too. And not to talk about Ocana a little bit, but some people are asking questions about Ocana. Is it just going to be member exclusive? It's going to be open to the public, which bears the question, is this thing going to have similar, is it going to be geared more towards tourists? What are the advantages? How user-friendly is it going to be for John Q, Jane Q public?
Well, I mean, they're going to have the 2 hotels. They're going to have condos, apartments. They're also going to have stores and restaurants. So I think this is I think
it's a win, but I'm having a hard time seeing it in my mind.
Man, you gotta think that's going to be like a 5-minute elevator ride,
or it's going to have one of those elevators that's like a bank tube chute.
And again, back to the fear of heights. I don't know about you, but if I get into a 4-story building...
And it's a window just all the way up?
No, and you hear the clank, clank ding, ding, inside ding, ding, the ding. Uh-huh. The elevator shaft.
That's it. I'm calling my family and telling them I love them. That's it. It's a wrap. You're going to find my body plastered to the floor of this elevator dead. You're going to have to peel me off of it.
He didn't fall. He just died.
Because I guarantee this is one of those buildings where the elevator will run because... It's cool and it's a great view. It's probably going to be a glass bottom elevator.
Oh, there's no way.
A glass bottom elevator with a beautiful view of the riverfront in the city.
I bet you they don't do something
all
like that.
All the way up.
They'd have to wash it out with bleach for all the urine that built up in it from people.
Dude, where's your comfort? Honestly, on an elevator, where's your comfort level at? What's your max floor comfort?
As long as I'm not seeing it, it's no big deal.
But if you're watching, like, the ground, like, the car get smaller.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If it looks like...
I have anxiety right now.
If it looks like I might be catching a flight...
Oh, my gosh.
By sticking my thumb out the window, as opposed to, like, actually being in a building, I'm probably not going to handle it.
The last place... If that's one of the situations where you're like, You know what? I'm telling you, my heart right now is pounding at the thought of just riding on the elevator as a... Look at my face. It's red. I'm so scared. I'm so scared of this building. I really am. I want Godzilla to come and save us from corporate America. That's what I want, but it's not going to happen.
Well, if you want more information on the Legends Tower, or if you want to make any corrections to their article, say include something like the kaiju or something like that in it, we'll include a link to the story in the show notes.
Absolutely. Well, the only okay show, we're some busy bees and beavers, by the way. Speaking of bees, don't mow your clover, because that's where clover honey comes from. Science, go learn it. But if you're out and about like we are, come out and see us in June. We're going to be headed out to the Liberty Fest in Edmond. Come out, look for the guys in the tie-dyes. We'd love to say hi and kiss a baby.
Or if you have any ideas for events that we should be aware of.
Or a baby.
Definitely let us know. Shoot us over an email, onlyanokshow@gmail.com.
That's right. Get in it. Get on it. Be a part of the freaking greatest Oklahoma travel and tourism podcast since, I don't know, the musical Oklahoma. This has been the Only an OK Show. New episodes every week. I'm Brent.
And I'm Harley, and we're out of here.
Peace.
Thank everybody out in the audience for the barbecue, baby.
I am Joe Bob's. I am the master's apprentice.
That's so fun.
Clean the lobby of the McDonald's, I do.
Present and accounted for, sir. Kids, only $15.
This should have me do it. This should have me do the freaking...
Extreme Muscle. If you like Gravedigger, you'll love Undertaker.
Wait, no, let's take him. We can't say that.
If you like the Gravedigger, you'll love the Funeral Director 4x4 four-wheel drive. See your favorite monster trucks. Big truck.
They're all big trucks.
Yeah, but not big like this one.
Oh, my God.
Big wheel.
Oklahoma.
3, 2, 1.
And welcome to the show. Today we're saddling up and headed to Sun Cattle Company in OKC. And later in the show, Legendary Tower versus Oklahoma. I'm Brett.
Oh, fine.
And welcome to the show. Today we're saddling up and headed to Sun Cattle Company in Oklahoma City.
Why don't you just do your voice? You want to be
and welcome to
Yosemite
the show today.
Sam? You do that later.
Welcome to the show today. We're actually going to saddle up and go have a hamburger at this one place.
Three, two. One.